Household of faith. Now to be a family, we've got to love each other at any cost, unselfishly. And our home must be a place that fully abounds with grace, a reflection of His face. We'll build a household of faith that together we can make. And when the strong winds blow, it won't fall down. As one in Him will grow, and the whole world will know we are a household of faith. We'll build a household of faith that together we can make. And when the strong winds blow, it won't fall down. As one in Him will grow, and the whole world will know we are a household of faith.
Amen.
We gave out as we began this study, so make sure you raise your hand, he'll get you one. And we're going to be turning to two passages, Hebrews 13:17 and Nehemiah 4:6. Yes, it's off. You're right, it is off. Now it's on, amen. All right. Hebrews 13:17 and Nehemiah 4:6. And Nehemiah 4:6, two opposite ends of the spectrum, amen, Old Testament and New Testament. We handed out a booklet way back when we started this study about your pastor and your welfare and your pastor and your work. We have completed the message on your pastor and your welfare. I would just touch on that briefly, and then we're going to go into your pastor and your work tonight. And so we're looking forward to that. And so that's why we're going to two different passages. And you didn't get a book, amen. Those are all the ones that I do have. So hopefully everybody that did not get one has one now. Hebrews 13:17 and Nehemiah 4:6. Did everybody find Nehemiah 4:6 yet? Any old me's? Anybody find Hebrews 13:17? Okay, good. We're going to read Hebrews 13:17 first, and then Nehemiah 4:6 afterwards. Amen. I'm going to read those together, and looking forward to seeing how God's going to use the service tonight. Amen. All right. Well, congratulations, Mr. and Mrs. Wilbur. Amen. Tomorrow will be 25 years. 25 years. By the way, the other Mrs. Wilbur bought a cake tonight. Amen. And I believe Halls have some cupcakes, am I correct? That's going to be after the service, amen. So we'll have some cupcakes and some cake in the fellowship hall. So we've got just a great night tonight. Baptisms, we've got cake, we've got renewal of vows, amen. And we're going to build a wall tonight as well. Praise the Lord, amen. How many of y'all like building walls? Amen. We're going to build a wall tonight. So praise God. All right, Hebrews 13:17. Let's go ahead and read that together. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, For they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And then back in Nehemiah 4:6. In Nehemiah 4:6, read that with me. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Father, bless now in these next moments as we illustrate and demonstrate the necessity to build, Lord, with communication, with cooperation, and with coordination spiritually. Lord, I pray that when we look at the area of Scripture tonight, and we look at our pastor and the welfare and our pastor and our work, we might see the correlation and the great need to spiritually communicate one with another and to cooperate and coordinate the affairs of the ministry together. Thank you for these that have joined tonight. Thank you for the baptism that will take place shortly thereafter. Lord, we're looking forward to a great night in the house of God. Speak to our hearts. Thank you for Brother Caleb being with us. Lord, bless in his ministry, their endeavor to reach souls for Christ in Germany. And Lord, we just pray that you would raise up the ones that are ill around our church family right now, Lord, and bring them back to us again. We thank you and love you for your blessings upon us. Guide us now in the next moments that we have in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Keep your finger in Nehemiah. You may be seated, but keep your finger in Nehemiah 4:6. But turn back to Hebrews 13:17 just for a moment. And I want to catch you up to date if you were not here for that portion. We are talking about the changes that God has made here at the Shining Light Baptist Church. We have now a new assistant pastor. We have new deacons. We have new leadership here. And as a result, we began going through a series of leadership meetings and training and things of that nature just to bring everybody up to speed and give everybody on the same level here of understanding of what we want to do with the ministry. And so we began looking at the things here in Hebrews 13:17. And I mentioned that over the next several Sunday night services, we're going to be talking about your pastor and your welfare, first of all, but then your pastor and your work. And we dealt with the pastor and the welfare here in Hebrews 13:17. And so I'm just going to tell you the topics that we discussed. And we discussed in verses 1 through 16 in chapter 13 there, verses 1 through 16, the practice of the people. Then we looked at verse 17 of the position of the pastor. For you to obey, several things need to be in place. You had to have respect for his position, his power, his person, and his privileges. We looked at that. We also looked at this, the pastor's appointed authority, his assistant pastor, his deacons, and his leaders, how they all work together to assist him in this this word called them, when it says obey them that have the rule over you in verse 17. Then we saw the purpose of the people is to obey and to submit. We saw the purpose of the pastor is to watch for your souls and give account for your souls. And so we looked at those elements. And then the prayer of the people was in verses 18 and 19, how I needed your prayers and how the author of Hebrews said, pray for us. And so that was the pastor and your welfare. And that's why it's very important for you to understand the relationship between you and your pastor and your prayers for your pastor, but also your pastor's watching and his care for you and your ability to obey and submit. And so when you dealt with the pastor and the welfare, we concluded with that. But now we're going to talk about the pastor and your work. Flip over to Ephesians 4:32 with me. Ephesians 4:32. Because when you're dealing with your pastor and your work, you've got to understand what your pastor's goal is for your work. Ephesians chapter 4. And in Ephesians chapter 4, notice verse number 32. I'm sorry, verse 11. You know, Galatians 4 doesn't say the same thing. Ephesians 4:11, and notice what it says here. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors, notice this, and teachers or pastor teachers. Why, God? Why did you give the pastors and why did you give the teachers or the pastor teacher office? Verse 12 says, for the perfecting or the maturing of the saints. Notice this, for the work or the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So my job then as pastor is to perfect you or to mature you, to get you matured so that you can do the work of the ministry, so that you can help edify or build up everybody else in the body of Christ. That's my goal. That's my job. How long? Verse 13. Till we all come into the unity of the faith. That's going to take until eternity. Amen. and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So my job then to get you spiritually up to speed is to get you equipped for the work of the ministry. Amen. Would y'all agree with that? So if my job is then to get you equipped, to perfect you, to mature you, to work the ministry, to edify the body of Christ, that can only happen then if we do three things, which I call the big three. They've got to be carried out with spiritual communication, spiritual cooperation, and spiritual coordination. All right? Y'all say those three words with me. Communication, coordination, and cooperation. Say them again. Communication, coordination, and cooperation. Spiritually speaking, if we're going to get anything done for God, we're going to have to communicate. Then we're going to have to coordinate. And then we're going to have to cooperate. Amen. So that's how the ministry is going to be carried out. And so I've been harping on the big three over the past 5 months or 6 months, I should say. And it's going to be carried out with those three. But then it's going to be conducted with what I call the big six: spirituality, loyalty, honesty, integrity, and functionality and unity. I'm not going to have you repeat those. Amen. So go back to Nehemiah 4:6 with me. Nehemiah 4:6. Everybody with me? Amen. So we covered your pastor and your welfare, because you need to obey, you need to submit, which means that you've got to communicate, cooperate, coordinate with me, amen, because I'm going to help you, equip you to do the work of the ministry, to get you perfected to that point, amen. And so Nehemiah 4:6 says, so built we the wall. Notice that emphasis on we, amen. Nehemiah didn't build it himself. He didn't do it all by himself. He had some help, amen. And so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to do what? Work. What a dirty word, work. How many of y'all like work? How many of y'all honest about that? Amen. Most of us do like good, honest, clean, hard work. Amen. If we're honest, we like hard work. But the thing that we like about work the most is we like to see results. We like to, paycheck. Amen. We like to see the results. Amen. We like to see what comes from the work. Amen. I love seeing good, honest work being put into children. Amen. They turn out to be godly in the long run. Amen. I like seeing good, honest work being put into a marriage. Why? You have a marriage made in heaven. Amen. I like seeing work being put into the local church. Why? Then we get to see the results of God blessing the church and souls getting saved and people getting baptized and people getting discipled. Amen. I love putting work into something and seeing the results. And so my job then is to put some work into you so that you can put some more work into the ministry. Amen. These people were trying to build the wall up because it was broken down. It was battered. They had been taken over. They come back to reestablish things. Amen. And it was all torn down. And so the man of God had to come and survey the situation, had to build the wall back up for the protection of Jerusalem. And so the people had this mind to work. And so chapter 4 details how it was done. Amen. Chapter 4 here says it was done, but chapter 3 details how it was done. And we're going to find something in chapter number 3. We're going to find two things, proximity and practicality. Let me get a few children here. Gregory, Joshua, Dominique, come here. Terrell, come here. Faith, come up here. Annabella, come up here. Who's raising their hand? Nia, come on up here. Now, we've got proximity. Proximity means to be close. In Nehemiah chapter 3, we find proximity. We find people working close together, side by side, to get the wall accomplished. Side by side, arm to arm, hand in hand, they're doing it. Now, when you have proximity, you're going to have something else, practicality. They're close to each other, so they can talk to each other. But when you have proximity and when you have practicality, know what you're going to have to? Begins with a P. Problems. Why? Because these are all individuals. They all think differently. They all have different goals. So somebody's got to set the task and say, this is the goal. Let's shoot for that. Let's have a common goal here. A common denominator is to see the wall get built. I think you're a minor. So the goal is to get the wall built. So you got the proximity, you got them close together, you got the practicality. They can talk to each other, they can communicate, but if they are not set in order, if something doesn't happen, they're going to be problems. So you're going to need communication, you're going to need cooperation, and you're going to need coordination for these builders to work on their wall. Would y'all agree? Amen? Hey, let's break it down to the church then. We're going to have deacons and pastors and leaders and singers and all these people. And guess what? If they're not working together to communicate, to cooperate, to coordinate, the church is not going to go anyplace. Amen? Because everything that they do should be to get people saved. Amen. I don't care if they're singing. I don't care if they're ushering. I don't care if they're keeping the nursery. I don't care if they're driving the bus. Whatever they're doing, it should be for the glory of God to see people get saved. If they don't have the common focus, guess what? Nobody's going to get saved. Amen. And so as they're building this wall in the book of Nehemiah, they're working with proximity. They're working with practicality. But if they don't have a goal, the problems will rise. Amen. And that's what we're doing. Thank you, young people. I appreciate that. Amen. So with that said, mark it down. We're going to have problems with any work of God as soon as you throw people into the mix. Amen. What I want to deal with tonight is going to be the big three, and we're going to deal with the big six later on. Amen. And the basic topic of what I want to talk about tonight is going to be how to spiritually build up or spiritually repair things that are broken. Okay, say it again. How to spiritually build up or how to spiritually repair things that are broken. Why? They had to go into Jerusalem and rebuild the wall. They had to rebuild the wall, amen? And so to do that, three things are going to be necessary that I talked about, the big three. First of all, spiritual communication. What is spiritual communication? Spiritually giving and receiving or exchanging of information accurately. By the way, do you know that as soon as you try to communicate with somebody, we have an adversary called the Prince of the Power of the Air, and he wants to take your words and twist them before they ever get to somebody's ear? Hold your finger there. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 2. And in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, notice what Paul here writes to the church at Ephesians, at the Ephesus. He says this. He says, matter of fact, verse number 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world." He said, you did things according to the world's way or Satan's way. According, notice this, to the prince of the power of the air. That means he can control some of the airways, some of the things that you're saying. He can make people think that you said something that you never said. And he can convince them that you said it. Amen. Amen. You say, well, I never said that. Where'd they get that from? What do you think? They didn't get it from God. They got it from the prince of the power of the air. He has the ability to twist things up so that what somebody said is not what you heard. Amen. The prince of the power of the air. Notice it, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Amen. And so there is an adversary to our spiritual communication who does not want you to give or exchange or receive information accurately. Why? Because he knows if you do, there are souls that can be saved. And he doesn't want to see souls get saved. Heaven forbid. He wants everybody to go to hell with him. Amen. And so spiritual communication is the spiritual giving, receiving, or exchanging of information accurately. By the way, if you gave it and they didn't receive it, you didn't do it right. One of the things, parents, if you're talking to your children, I try to practice this, I'm not always successful, is when I say, son, come here, look him in the eye and say, go clean your room. Did you understand what I said? What did I just say? Amen. We have successfully communicated. He spit it back out. Amen. Now, whether he goes and does it is another story. Amen. Then we will have to do corrective measures. Amen. But you've got to make sure that spiritual communication accurately goes and does what you intended for it to do, or it's not good communication. Number two, spiritual coordination is the spiritual harmonious functioning of parts. Keeping in mind the end goal or the big picture is for to glorify God. Their job here in Nehemiah was to glorify God by getting the city secure with a wall. Amen. In Nehemiah, it was the building of the wall. For us, it's the building of lives or the edifying of one another or glorifying God by our maturing or perfecting of the saints. Number three, spiritual cooperation. Spiritual cooperation then is spiritually working together with others for a common good or goal. In other words, working together despite our differences. How many of y'all from Illinois? So that means if you're not from Illinois, y'all don't know anything about pop, do you? Brad knows something about pop. It's not soda pop, it's just pop. It's pop. It's pop. But out here, y'all say it's soda. So instead of it being a Coke or a 7-Up, it's soda. Where I grew up, it was pop. We got to get past that, because if I say, give me a pop, you might, and I'm not talking about that kind of pop. I'm talking about something to drink, amen? And so there's a difference in terminology. And so we've got to work together. So we're working on the wall, and I say, give me a pop, and you hit me with the hammer. That's bad communication. That's Three Stooges. That is not in the operation here. And so spiritual communication, spiritual coordination, and spiritual cooperation is necessary. And I want you to notice something here in chapter 3. Notice the proximity and the practicality. Go to chapter 3 of Nehemiah. Now, bear with me here on these names. I'm not going to pronounce them all right, so don't you get me all gigged up. Amen. Notice verse number 1. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it, set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananiel. Notice this, and next unto him. Every time I say next unto him or after him repaired, that's showing you that somebody was right next to them. They were working side by side, just like the children were up here. Verse 2, and next unto him builded the men of Jericho, and next to them builded Zaccur, the son of Imri. But the fish gate did the sons of Hasaneah build, who also laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. Notice verse 4, and next unto them repaired Meremoth, the sons of Urijah, the son of Kaz. And next unto them repaired Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, the son of Meshezabel. And next unto them repaired Zadok, the son of Baana. And next unto them, the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord. Pity on them, amen. Moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada, the son of Paseah, and Meshulam, the son of Besodeiah, amen. They laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. Notice this, and next unto them repair Melatiah, the Gibeonite. Come down to verse 8. And next unto him repair Uzziel, the son of Hariah, of the goldsmith. Next unto him also repair Hananiah. Come down to verse number 9. Next unto them repair Raphiah. Come down to verse number 10. Next unto them repair Jediah. Come down to the end of that sentence. And next unto him repair Hatush, the son of Hashbaniah. Come down to verse 11. Malchijah, the son of Haram, and Hashab, the son of Pathmoab, repaired the other piece and the tower of the furnaces. Notice verse 12. And next unto him repaired Shalem. Verse number 13. The valley gate repaired Hanun, the inhabitants of Zenoa. Come down to verse 14. But the dung gate repaired Melchiah. Praise God for him. Amen. Come down to verse 15. But the gate of the fountain repaired Shalem. Verse 16. After him repaired Nehemiah. Come down to verse 17. After him repaired the Levites, Rehum, the son of Benai. Next unto him repaired Hashabiah. What are we finding here? These guys are working side by side, side by side, side by side, side by side. They've got proximity. They got practicality. They can communicate. But there are also going to be some problems if they don't communicate, coordinate, and cooperate. Come down to verse 18. After him repaired their brethren, Bavai, the son of Henadad, verse 19. And next to him repaired Ezer, verse 20. After him, Barak, the son of Zabai, verse 21. After him repaired Meremoth, verse 22. After him repaired the priest, the men of the plain, verse 23. After him repaired Benjamin and Hashab over against their house. After him, Azariah, the son of Messiah, verse 24. After him repaired Binui, come down to verse number 25 at the end, the court of the prison. After him, Padiah, the son of Parosh, come down to verse 27. After them, the Tekoites, come down to verse 28. From above the horse gate repaired the priest, everyone over against his house. After them repaired Zadok, the son of Imer, over against his house. After him repaired also Shemaiah, the son of Shechaniah, the keeper of the east gate. After him repaired Hananiah. Come down to the middle of that sentence, that paragraph. After him repaired Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, over against his chamber, verse 31. After him repaired Malchiah. Come down to verse 32. And between the going up of the corner unto the sheep gate repaired the goldsmith and the merchants. So what do we find here? They built the wall in chapter number 4. It says, so built we the wall, because they had some proximity of people who took some jurisdiction of their area and had the practicality to say, look, I'm close to this area, so I'm going to work in this area. And I'm going to work next to you. And I'm going to work next to you. And I'm going to work next to you. And they had to have communication to work together. Y'all ready to build a wall tonight? Let me get my pastors, my pastor up here, my deacons up here. We're going to build a facsimile of a wall. Amen. Now, we're going to do something here. They're going to have limited supplies. I'm going to give them the instructions. Brother, we need all three mics up here. These are their bricks of wall. Fake enemies, it will. They have one roll of tape. They have one pair of scissors. Their job now is to build three pieces of the wall. They need mics because we want you to hear everything they're going to say. Brother, can we get all three of these mics turned on? And you notice I asked them to bring their children. Why did I ask them to bring their children? What? The best listeners, no. Why did I have them bring their children? Jeremiah? They're what? Children helped Nehemiah build the wall. That's true. That's part of it. The rest of it is we're simulating real life ministry. In real life ministry, you know who you have? Your children. And you cannot have real life ministry without children. And so even though we have a small child here, she is going to be instrumental in the ministry. You know that? All right. Pastor White is communication. His part of the wall is communication. Brother Hall's part of the wall is coordination. Brother Perkins' part of the wall is cooperation. Their job, then, is to take these three pieces. They're going to fold them in to make a box. They're going to tape the boxes shut, right side up, tape both sides. This is going to be a piece of the wall, and then they've got to put their title at the top. Make sure it's right side up. That's upside down. I want to make sure our wall is upside, right side up. Then they're going to take their piece of paper, and they're going to put it at the top like this. They're going to tape it here. Once they all get their three pieces of the wall together, they're going to tape all three pieces of the wall together. They're going to join the wall together, okay? And it's going to take communication, cooperation, and coordination. Now, I told them that because they are the assistant pastor and the deacons, they represent leadership. You know what leaders require? Followers. And so they may ask one of you to come and help them because they only have one roll of tape, and one pair of scissors. So as they're building their wall, I may need some assistance with this little one. I may need some assistance with this little one because I still got to hold the mic to command people to tell them what to do. All right? So, y'all ready to build?
Yes, sir.
All right? So what did it say? So built we the wall because the people had what? A mind to work. Amen? What did it say? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So their job now is to take the orders from the pastor and to begin to carry them out for the work of the ministry. Okay, they're building the wall. So that's their job. I've perfected them. I've equipped them. They've matured to that point where they can actually put their pieces of the wall together. So go for it. Y'all build the wall. I want to hear everything y'all say.
Hey, Shane, got to get you. Here's the mail, Shane.
Jeff Jr., get up here.
How about we'll let Miss White take the kids and kind of watch them while we go.
We're going to need somebody in charge of the tape. I need a scissor cutter person.
Remember, spiritual communication, spiritually giving, receiving, or exchanging of information accurately.
Well, we already have right the box.
Spiritual coordination, functioning of parts harmoniously.
Jeff, we can just tape that box on up.
Terrell, there you go. Get the scissors. All right.
Shane, you want to? Thank you.
So, Terrell, you next to the scissors.
You guys can start. Terrell. All right, we got to hear what y'all say now.
So one person can cut and then another can come over here. Yeah, there we go.
That's all right.
Oh, this one. Oh, no, we have to get both in.
Come on, buddy. Come over here. Come use the scissors over here. There you go.
Tuck, tuck.
Good job, Shane. Thank you, sir. Now, let's set this back up.
All right. Thanks.
Let's get that one over there taped up. Follow him. Pete, you follow wherever he go. Terrell, wherever he go.
By the way, it's a misnomer. Too many cooks spoil the soup. Too many unorganized cooks spoil the soup. Amen.
Layla. There you go.
And Mrs. White, how'd you get stuck not building the wall and holding the baby? Very
careful. Jeffrey.
Mrs. White says she's Jeffrey the brain, they're the bronze.
All right.
Hold on, we need a little bit more tape, Shane.
Terrell, come here, buddy. All right. Finish up that last one. Layla, you got your paper? Come on, get ready. All right.
Go ahead, Terrell. Cut it further down. There we go.
Put it up as high as you can get it so everybody can see it.
There you go, Lena. Just wait for the tape. Just like that.
We're ready to start taping on the box. Wait, is this the right side?
Oh, sorry.
Excuse me, Lena.
All right.
That's pretty good, didn't you? You didn't expect it.
Hey, we're going to need it. We got to connect the walls.
Oh, yeah, we still have the tape. Oh, can we get tape running, like, on the top?
We just start on that end, Shane,
huh?
And bring that tape all the way over. Connect these walls.
Okay, Pastor White wants the papers in a certain place, not just at the top.
Amen. That's right. So built we the wall. We built it with perfection.
Just one over the... I hold this in down here. Hold on, wait.
Just take it down just a little bit more. Hold up, don't cut.
Go over there. Put some more down.
There you go.
All right. Can we lift it up and put it on the baptistry so everybody can see it?
Shane, we're going to need you right there in a minute, buddy.
Maybe tape over the top.
We need a sturdy wall now.
Come on this side, yeah.
Yeah, we could do that. Jeffrey, we doing a good job, Jeffrey.
And get that one. And maybe we tape it at the bottom too. That.
Yeah, bless you. So push it in tight there. Push it in. There you go.
Grab that middle one.
Grab this layer. Before you take it up, take it around the bottom.
Okay. Put a piece around the bottom. Oh, tape it around the bottom.
rub the whole thing.
Yes, we got to lift it up. So how y'all think they're doing so far in their communication? What about their cooperation? What about their coordination? What about their ability to take suggestions from the crowd?
Outstanding.
Nora, what's the matter? Did we lose our coordination down there?
No, we got it.
Amen. So, Nehemiah 4:6 says, so built we the wall, and the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Amen. What did it take? It took some communication. It took some coordination. It took some cooperation. They had to work together. All right, but it doesn't stop there. Amen. Although they needed those things to build, and although we're going to need those things to build, there's going to come some opposition. When you come into chapter 4, verse number 1, before it comes to verse 6, it says this, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. There's going to be some mockery that's going to come. Somebody's going to say, well, they're not straight. They should all be at the top here. You're not doing a good job. This one's all wrinkled. Look at this one. They're out of line. Why did you do it that way? And look at this tape around here. It's going to be some mockery of what you're doing. Hey, you're going to have to be able to withstand against the mockery that comes when people don't like what you do. Amen. And you're just going to still have to do it because it's God who told you to do it. Amen. And but people are going to mock what you do sometimes. Well, look at this. I don't know about this. This is just a shoddy job. If it was me, I would have done this way. Hey, it's not you. It's me. So don't you worry about it. It's my God I'm trying to please. Amen. When you're building, you're always going to have mockers and mockery that's going to happen. Amen. He says they mocked him. Verse 2. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they built, if a fox go up it, he shall even break down their stone wall. So he said, if a fox go up to this thing, he's going to break it down. Somebody may say, hey, you're trying to disciple somebody. You're not going to do anything. Hey, you're trying to go over here and be an usher. You're trying to work in the nursery. You're no good in the nursery. He said, hey, look, don't worry about that. When people mock you, amen, do exactly what they did. What'd they do? They cried out to their majesty, amen. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their head, and give them for a prey in the land of the captivity. You go to the majesty of God when you find some mockery going on and say, look, our Lord, they're trying to mock me, but I'm calling out to your majesty. You know my heart. You know my intentions. I mean good. I'm trying to glorify you. God, work in me and through me, amen, and get them, amen. Now, don't you try and take things in your own hand. As they got this mockery, they cried out to the majesty. Why? Because they had a mindset, we've got to get this job done. And cover not their iniquities, verse 5, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Through all that mockery, they had to go to the majesty to finally get the job done. It's not going to be easy in ministry, amen? Never has been, never will be. But guess what? If God's in it, hey, we can build the wall, amen? Hey, if God's in it, we can cooperate. We can have spiritual coordination and spiritual communication. We can get the job done. One had the baby. One had the tape. One had the brains over here. Who had the brains? Mrs. White had the brains, amen? We had some labor hands over here, some cutting of the tape. We even had some little help over here, amen. And what happened? We built the wall. We did what we were supposed to do. We did it in record form and record fashion, amen. Something that could have took a long time if we listened to the mockery. It was done very, very quickly. Why? The people had a mind to work. Hey, folks, what am I saying here? If we're going to get involved with God's ministry and do things God's way, according to Nehemiah, amen, it's going to get mocked at times, amen. But we got to have a mind to work. We've got to continue to communicate with one another, continue to cooperate with one another, coordinate with one another, and continue to cooperate, amen. The devil would love nothing more for these folks to fight against themselves. Why? They can't get the wall done. Amen. That's why spiritual communication, spiritual coordination, and cooperation is necessary, because the devil wants to fight against you, and he's not going to get in the battle himself. He's going to sit back and watch you fight yourselves, amen? So we've got to be spiritually communicating one with another. Hey, you know what? I've got a problem with my part of the wall. Can I get some assistance? Can you help me? Hey, I got a problem. My child is sick, so I need to coordinate with you that you can take my position on the wall today. Hey, I got to cooperate. Well, you know, I had something else to do, but you know what? I'll come over and help you with your part of the wall because you've got something going on. That's what cooperation, coordination, and communication is all about, spiritually speaking. Folks, these are real-life people here trying to do a real-life job with real-life children, and in the ministry, that's how it really is. When you're here singing in a choir, when you're ushering, you still have kids to tend to. When you're doing anything, you still have kids to tend to. Amen? Whether they're sitting in the pew or somewhere else, you still have children that you got to think about in your ministry. And so I wanted to have an accurate reflection of us with our children up here working and the responsibilities that they take, but also getting people to help out. Why? That's the way it is. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. When we come in here to minister for God, to glorify him, we all have families. We all have children. We have husbands and wives. Guess what? We have to still minister even with our families. And the job has still got to get done. How's it going to get done, preacher? The big three: communication, spiritually, spiritual coordination, and spiritual cooperation. Thank you, guys. Give them a hand. Amen. Y'all can have a seat. All right, let's put this off to the side, brother. Jeff, you put this over on the side over there. So built we the wall. Amen. Next message, we're going to put a gate on it. I'm just joking. Amen. I'm just joking. Amen. We're not going to put a gate on it. Amen. So what am I saying here, folks? When we get involved in spiritually communicating the work of God and coordinating, cooperating in the work of God with our children in tow, that's real life ministry. That's juggling. That's balancing of priorities. That's making sure our personal lives are still taken care of, because God still holds us accountable for our personal lives. He still holds us accountable for our children. He still holds us accountable for working and doing the things that he has called us to do. He still holds us accountable. So we can't leave our children out of the equation. We can't leave our husbands or our wives out of the equation. We cannot leave them and just say, well, you're over there, my ministry is here. No, our ministry is still to our families first, amen, of course, after God. And we've got to take care of them. But we still have to have a mind to work and come in the house of God and say, you know what, I need to spiritually communicate and coordinate and cooperate, because I have a divine disruption that just came up this morning. Amen. Enter divine disruptions, Brother Wilbur. I'm trying to be all romantic and have my wife and get some renewal of vows, and I've got a disaster at home. Amen. Hey, it happens that way sometimes. Life doesn't stop just because we're trying to build. Life still goes on. I've got a doctor's appointment. I've got this illness that came up. I've got this going on. My children need some time in school. I've got this. I've got this. And guess what? We still have to have a mind to work. What do we got to do? Spiritually communicate. Pastor, you know, some things have gone on in my life right now, and so it's changed, and I need somebody to help cooperate with me, and I need to coordinate somebody to stand in for me. Spiritually speaking, I've got to get some help. I've got to get help. For the perfecting of the saints, it said in Ephesians, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the maturing, for the working, for the edifying of the body of Christ, so that we help each other. Now, folks, as we get into this a little bit more, we're going to see a little bit more about what Nehemiah's got going on here. But he said the people had a mind to work, but they had to work against mockery. The devil does not like what we're trying to do here at Shining Light Baptist Church. He doesn't like that the Reyes family got saved. He doesn't like that Kelly got saved. He doesn't like they're getting baptized tonight. He doesn't like that Nia got saved. He doesn't like the fact that Annabella got saved. She's going to get baptized. They don't like. He doesn't like that. So he's going to fight against us, and he wants you to fight against each other. Amen. Why? He's not going to stick his nose in the battle to fight against you. Why fight against you when I can get you to fight against yourself? And so Nehemiah said, look, they have some people, they had some proximity, they were close together, but if we're not careful with our spiritual communication and coordination and cooperation, we can have big problems. And God's not glorified in that, nor is God honored in that. And so as we look at this area, I want you to take home with you tonight the big three, the spiritual communication, the spiritual coordination, and the spiritual cooperation that we must have in the ministry and work with each other. And we'll talk a little bit more about this next week. But I just wanted to get us a visual of something that Nehemiah did in building the wall around Jerusalem and then spiritually applied to our lives. That wall represents our individual lives and our ministries that we're trying to work on for God to glorify Him for the ministry's sake and for the kingdom of God's sake. And we've got to work together in this thing, which means we've got to cooperate, communicate, and coordinate. We've got to do it spiritually. Souls are at stake. And so whenever you look at that, think communication. Am I spiritually communicating with people in my local church? Am I exchanging the information in my mind that I'm trying to get to them? And is it getting across accurately to them to get the job done? Coordinating spiritually. Am I spiritually coordinating with people, letting them know what I've got going on in my life and why I can't do something or what's going on in my life so that they can help stand in for me and help me build my piece of the wall? Am I cooperating with people? Am I actually working together harmoniously to help get the job done? Again, folks, if we don't have that going on, it's not going to be successful ministry for us. And we have got to have that aspect of this ministry in our lives, spiritually communicating, spiritually coordinating, and spiritually cooperating. Why? Souls are at stake. People need to be saved. And everything that we do here is to get people saved. Everything that we do, it all ties together, whether it's singing, or whether it's playing, or whether it's nursery, whether it's usher, it's all designed to get people under the sound of the gospel so that they can get saved. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. If you're getting baptized, Nia and Annabella, Reyes, as you guys can be dismissed, go ahead and get dressed, and Mrs. Bev's got you guys in the back. She'll meet you. The rest of us, heads bowed, and eyes are closed, and we're looking around. The rest of us, let's bow our heads for prayer. Now, Father, thank you. We've seen much tonight. Lord, we've been able to see vows renewed. Lord, we've been able to hear a song about the household of faith. Lord, we've been able to see Nehemiah and the people of Israel build the wall. Lord, we've been able to illustrate and demonstrate that the people had a mind to work. Well, we understand that it's going to take spiritual communication, spiritual coordination, and spiritual cooperation. Well, we understand as well that it cannot happen just because we say it should. Lord, we understand that we're going to have to make sure that it is the proper exchanging of information, receiving accurately what we give out at communicating, whether it's a husband or a wife, or whether it's a teacher and a student, or whether it's a pastor and assistant pastor, whether it's a deacon and a laborer, maybe it's a minister, Lord, whatever it is, help us to spiritually communicate accurately here at Shining Light the needs of the ministry. And Lord, help us to have spiritual coordination, harmoniously working together to see people saved. Oh, Lord, may it not be any big I's or little U's, but may we all see that we all are instrumental in the body of Christ. We're a body working together, and every part is got its place. Lord, help us to spiritually cooperate, working together for a common good. That's seeing souls get saved despite our differences. Lord, we're all different. But Lord, I pray that you would use our differences for the glory of God. Bring our ideas and bring our opinions and bring what we have to the table. Make sure it's God-centered and Christ-honoring. We can work in marvelous work of grace. Thank you so much for these servants that you've given us here. Lord, I pray that all of us here at Shining Light will have a mind to work, whether we're in a position of leadership or whether we're a lay person. Lord, help us to understand that you have something for us to do. Speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, help us to really focus on what this is all about. And this is all trying to see souls get saved, building, spiritually building up, and spiritually repairing things that are broken. Lord, many of us here have broken lives and broken hearts, broken things in our past. Lord, it can be mended by someone communicating, cooperating, and coordinating. Some have shattered dreams. Lord, some have battered bodies. And they just need some spiritual communication, someone to care for them. Lord, I pray you'd work in our midst. We can't be effective if we don't spiritually communicate, spiritually coordinate, and spiritually cooperate one with another. Lord, help us to bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. Lord, help us to have that proximity within that practicality and working around problems that may exist in the ministry. Because, Lord, it's for the glory of God. and for the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. So, Lord, examine our hearts tonight. Try our hearts tonight. Test our hearts tonight. Lord, I pray that everyone would see their part in building and ministering and seeing souls won to Christ. Pray everyone would see that there's something that they can do in the ministry, from the smallest, like Nora, to the most mature that's here. Lord, may your will be done. Help us in these next several weeks, Lord, as we endeavor to convey this thought. The people had a mind to work. Your pastor and your welfare, your pastor and your work. Lord, help us to see many, many more souls get saved and then baptized and discipled. Lord, I pray if there's one tonight under the sound of my voice that's never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, and they would sense their need tonight. The Bible clearly says that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And if there's a man here tonight, or a woman, or a boy, or a girl that's never trusted Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray you would deal with that soul. Deal with that man, that woman, that boy, or girl. Press upon them the dangers of a place called hell and the payment of sin. Lord, press upon them the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And save that man, that woman, that boy, or girl. Help them reach out tonight before they leave here and get things settled with thee. Thank you for meeting with us tonight. Deal in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Just for a moment where you're at, heads bowed and eyes are closed, just have a moment of silence. Why don't you ask God, what's your place? What's your part in building? Maybe you need to be a better communicator, spiritually speaking. Maybe you need to be a better coordinator, spiritually speaking. Maybe you need to be better at cooperating, spiritually speaking. Whether you're a leader, whether you're a follower, we're all in this together. The people had a mind to work. Ask yourself, Lord, am I being used for your honor, for your glory? Lord, am I helping in building this wall? Am I being perfected, or am I perfecting others? Am I being part of the work of the ministry, or am I helping others be trained in the work? Am I edifying the body of Christ, or am I tearing down the body of Christ? And ask God, what part are you playing? And what part does he want you to play? We'll ask Mrs. Dawson if you would come, Mrs. Dawson, and play a hymn for us. But just in the quiet of your own heart, those that are being baptized or getting changed, but for us, you saw the demonstration up front, and you saw what building is all about and what building requires. It's a juggling sometimes. It's a balancing at times. There's going to be some mockery, but we can always cry out to the majesty of God and say, Lord, you hear. Let's all stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes are closed, and we're looking around.